This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mafia on CBS Sports Radio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. All you got to do is switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. Why don't you? And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Funny, Mavi just walked in here and he said, here's your 300 football picks for the week, the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then he was walking out and he said, do you think maybe you have a gambling problem? And I was like, no. Particularly with how many games I hit. Pharrellonabench.com is rocking. You got to get in on it. Killer football picks. College football and pros. College Saturday, 64%. I was just warming up for the NFL week one when I hit 79% of the bets. 79% of the bets hit in the NFL. Who does that? Me, that's who. Who do they trust? Me, that's who. Who do they want? Me, that's who. Pharrellonabench.com is the greatest thing ever invented since the Edson Diesel. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. So there you go. Edward in Maryland, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Fer? How are you doing?
Hey, bro.
Hey, look, this Antonio thing is really starting to irritate me. And it's even beyond the NFL thing.
Right.
Every day, we have young men, and I'll even go as far, and I'm going to include the women, who play sports. They want to carry themselves with the utmost respect for the game, but the most important thing, the utmost respect for yourself. And for Antonio Brown to do the one thing he did, which was so-called go on Twitter and ask to be released from Oakland. The things that he does on the social media sites, the things that he says, the stuff he said to Mike Mayock, and the things that he said to Gruden, and wanting to punch people in the face. You are no longer a role model, and you weren't a role model in Pittsburgh when you started all this fiasco. I'm so done with him. I wish he didn't play for another team. I wish he was done, because part of this issue would be gone, and part of it would still be here because, in my opinion, he'd be doing OJ stuff, making Twitter videos, saying negative things, because it's all, like you said, Pharrell, it's about the popularity. Everything that's negative on him now, it's going to become something positive for him because that's what he likes. I think the guy does have a problem, because to say somebody doesn't have a problem but they're doing something, come on now, they have a problem.
Well, I think he's got serious issues with his narcissism, without a doubt. I mean, there's not even a question of it. And then I think he's a very immature guy. They talk about how he's so talented and everything, but he's obviously he's like a child. I mean, the guy – he behaves, deplorably, and it's just – and the funny thing is, I have to give a lot of the blame, I swear to God, to the Raiders. Like, they sucked up to this guy like it was nobody's business, right? They enabled him left and right. They're like, oh, they supported him through the frostbite. They supported him through the helmet. The guy didn't go to practice. He didn't do what everyone else had to do. And then it got to the point where that it was making them look bad. Then they let him have his veiled, pathetic, phony, fake, complete BS apology, which was, I mean, when a guy comes up to the microphone and says, I just want to apologize to my teammates in the organization and play football, and walks off, I mean, he means absolutely none of it. That was Drew Rosenhaus, the, super white agent, talking through Antonio Brown. They made him do that. They made him apologize publicly, and it was the most absolute ludicrous apology I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was just absolutely a joke. He is, without a doubt, the most selfish athlete going in all of sports right now. There's no one that can even touch him. And I agree with you that he's a horrible, absolutely horrible role model. But I don't consider, you know, I don't really want my athletes, you know, that'd be great if they all behaved like, you know, born-again Christians, and they were all wonderful people, and all they did was save lives and do charity work and philanthropy and everything else. They do not pay these guys, actually, in their contracts. They pay them to be morally responsible adults, right, but not role models. They are not paid to be a role model. They are not paid to behave, to help others, and to change others' lives, or to save children, or to save the world, or to be a, you know, a hurricane relief headquarters. You understand what I'm saying? These guys are not paid to do all these things that, not you, but the public wants them to be. They are not who you want them to be, and they don't do, and he says it all the time. I'm my own man. No, I don't listen to anybody. Nobody tells me what to do. That's what he says all the time. He's quoted, I mean, documented that he behaves that way. There's no hiding his behavior, right? So it is what it is. But he is not required in any stretch at all whatsoever to be a role model for anyone, okay? Don't you remember, what was it, Barkley said it? I'm no role model. There you go. Yeah, thanks. Or anyone else for that matter. But listen, let's stop with all the, you know, these are our heroes. That just is so ridiculous. You know what I mean? You know what sports is? It's an escape, and it's, you know, it really is. It's an exciting escape of entertainment and you know, reality entertainment in high speed, right, is what it is. And then it makes you feel good. Watching sports and your team and cheering for your team and going to tailgates and all the rest makes you feel good. It's a happy day, you know, Saturday and Sunday. People like watching football, right? It is what it is. But to say that he's supposed to, you know, be an inspiration to children everywhere and adults is somewhat ridiculous to me. It really is. I mean, if that's who you want to be or want to emulate is Antonio Brown, then you're an idiot, because that's the last guy on earth I want to be like. I want to be real. Right? And let me tell you the other thing that sports are for. Just be clear here. It's for gambling. Okay? So no one likes the word gambling until 2 years ago, right? It's taboo. It's like saying you like heroin, right? You go around bragging about that, you won't have a life and a career for very long. But remember when I used to talk gambling? For years, I would talk sports betting on my show since the beginning. You know, when I started nationally 25 years ago, whatever it was, doing a national show for All on a Bench, all I talked about was sports betting, right, and spreads and picking money line and spreads, right? And I did it every week on my show, and I've done it for 25 years every day. But for literally the last 23 years, all I got was grief, utter grief, from radio companies, radio executives, program directors. They all are the same, yelling and screaming at me like I'm a drug dealer because I talk about sports betting. That's all I ever got was their nonsense and drivel. I've listened to these idiots my entire life give me advice about sports betting, and they all treat me like I'm some kind of murderer. They really do. But, you know, now everybody, all these same people that screamed and yelled at me are in bed with all the gambling companies. They're all in bed with the DraftKings, FanDuels. They're all in bed with Action Network. This company's in bed with them. They're all in bed now with gambling. Gambling now is no longer heroin. It's everyday life, right? So there you go. But gambling is why I believe sports exists. At some level, there's, you know, the release, the euphoria of entertainment and competition, right? The teams are battling to win and, you know, rivalries and hate each other and play the game and kill each other, right? It's the same as the Roman gladiators. Someone's going to go out, someone's going to get their head cut off, and they're going to cheer, right? Same thing nowadays. Two teams go to war. You know what I mean? And you want your team to win, right? Florida, Miami, whoever it is, you know, NFL rivals, Packers, Bears, all the rest, Steelers, Pats, and then the Pats win every game. And that's how the world works. So the world now is the Pats win every game, everyone else loses, the Pats win, and then they get every great player in the league to play for them. And then the rest of us, all we do is bet on sports. That's it. There's nothing else to it. The day that those guys are your role models, like, please, honestly, you've got to be an absolute drip moron to believe that some, you know, I get it, some kid, You know, I've seen all the stories I can take. Tom Rinaldi with all the kids with cancer and everything else, that these players are their heroes and their role models. And that's true, right? It is someone to look up to. It's certainly someone that you fall in love with. It's so easy, if you ask me, for a kid to fall in love with the quarterback of the team. Like, if you're from Philadelphia, they all love Carson Wentz, right? It's automatic, right? In Buffalo, they like Josh Allen. In New York, they like Sam Darnold. And then, you know, that's the deal, right? So they look up to him. It's automatic when a kid's you can influence children. These athletes, you know, instantly they become their. I've seen my own kids. They love these athletes like they're you know, heroes. And but I don't necessarily agree with it from a standpoint of it's reality. I also think that adults don't fall for that. Like, there is absolutely no athlete whatsoever that plays in pro sports that I could give a rat's ass about at all beyond watching them play and betting on them. Fair enough. Am I entitled to that opinion? I could care less. There is not one player. Are you kidding me? What do you think? I go home and have pictures of Aaron Judge all over my house? I don't care about any athlete at all. Zero in life. You care about your wife, your children, your family, your friends, your dog, right? I care more about my dog than I do an athlete. I'm being honest. If you can't handle that, then don't listen to me. Heroes or role models, my ass. I mean, honestly, I'm going to puke listening to that role model. I wish, you know, more role models got straight A's in school and kids got their education and they amounted to something in life and made something in their life instead of these stupid-ass families and parents that think their kids are all going to be pro athletes. And it's going on everywhere. 90% of parents, in my opinion, think their kid's going pro in sports. And they're all stupid asses. Okay? Less than 1% of them go pro, okay? So good luck with that there with little Chucky. Little fat Chucky running around playing Little League. He's going to go pro, huh? Good luck. Good luck with that. Yeah. Spend your life telling everyone how your kid's going pro. My kid's an offensive lineman. He's going to make it to the, you know what I mean? Tell me how many of those people you've seen actually do it. Besides none. Well, how many of them do you actually know that made it and that are in the NFL or made the Hall of Fame? How many of them are you friends with? You grew up next door to them, right? I mean, honestly, they find them. They're a needle in a haystack. Do you understand? You just think there's millions of them that are so great. There really aren't. It's a small fraternity, isn't it? How many guys play in the NBA? The rest of them think they're good, and they aren't, right? How many kids play D1 basketball, right, from your town? Where you live right now, how many of them go D1 and make superstar status? Yeah, I thought so. So stop. All these stupid-ass parents think they're kids. My son's the next Roger Clemens. Yeah, he'd be better off doing something else. Seriously. Please. I can't take it anymore either. These kids. How about these parents? I'm going to have my kid go play football and see how many times he can get a concussion. See how many times. Do you see the numbers dropping off of people letting their kids play football now? I mean, are there any kids playing football anymore? I mean, honestly, what do they play now? Tennis? Ping pong? What do they play? Because they're not playing football, right? And the kids are bored to death with baseball. Baseball sucks. More kids play lacrosse than baseball. It's true, right? More kids play soccer than football, trust me, right? I mean, it's true, right? And then every kid I know thinks he's a basketball star, and most of them suck. They have no game whatsoever. And you know the ones that do have game. They stand out like a sore thumb, and the rest of them suck. Call the show. Say something. Think. Use your mind for once in your life. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So Carver High didn't know that I have this innate ability. I'm going to let him in on this now. He's been with us several years. What have you been with me, like 6 years? So he doesn't know that I have the innate ability when I'm talking to him about something important and he's ignoring me. Where he's like sitting there looking at me and I'm telling him something important, he doesn't realize that he has that little cartoon cloud over his head and it read, I was just telling him something super important and he never looked at me once. And the cloud over his head said, all I care about is the Bills game this week. Screw you. Mind your own business. That's what the cloud said over your head when I was just talking to you about something very important. You just gave me the look of, the Bills are all that matter to me. Screw you. Mind your own business. Is that about where you were on that conversation?
Pretty much.
Thank you. I thought that there was potential for that. I have the innate ability to read people's minds. It's unbelievable, the talents that I have. Mafia knows it's true. Jimmy in Oklahoma, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, it's Jimmy.
Hey.
Good to talk to you again. Hey, listen, I can't agree with you more about that role model nonsense. And I'm watching that first game last night, and I remember when I was a kid when Howard Cosell was on Monday Night Football.
Right.
And my father used to shut off the TV and put on the radio because he drove him crazy. Well, that's what I'm going to do every time Tessa Torum and Fallon are on, because I can't watch a game with these two guys.
Really? Is it that bad? Because I'm on the air.
Terrible.
I'm on the air. I don't hear a word they say.
I mean, if Tessa Torum's not calling a fight, I can't listen to them. They're terrible. Oh, they're terrible.
Really? That's not the impression we've gotten from others. Like, so is this not the first guy that said that? Because last night everyone was glowing about him.
Yeah, we had a couple of calls that liked it. I mean, I guess for the most people, going through a year of Witten doing it, anything's going to be an improvement.
The bottom line is they have changed the Monday Night Football booth so much since the glory days of Monday Night Football that, I mean, Monday Night Football no longer, in my opinion, the broadcast itself, it doesn't have respect because they've screwed it up so many times. They butchered it so many times. When they started putting Dennis Miller and all these people in there, they have literally butchered Monday Night Football. What they've tried to do is they've tried to replace Howard Cosell for 40 years, and they just can't do it. And they just have tried everything and everyone, and they have butchered it. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So at this point, if two guys can just call the game without a lot of drama, we're okay with that. I really believe
that.
Yeah,
look, it's not the same anymore. It hasn't been the same for a long time. Listen, we know when it changed. When it went to ESPN and it left ABC, and NBC, because when NBC got the Sunday nights, that's when the Monday night package moved to Sunday night. The best game of the week went to Sunday night. Remember the Sunday night game on ESPN used to suck all the time, and it was the Monday night game that was good? It's not like that anymore. Now the Sunday night game is the marquee game, and ESPN gets the scraps on Monday night. Monday night football used to be the game of the week. It's not anymore. It's just, it is what it is, and it's on ESPN, and it's, like you said, at this point, you just want to watch the game without wanting to mute your TV. I mean, that's pretty much what it is for all these games now. I couldn't take it on Sunday. I mean, the guys that were doing the Bill Jett game, I mean, it was awful.
I think that I've always told people, because we're on the air, so I would never know. I don't listen. But I think that I've always tried to sell, watch the game and then tune them out and listen to us. I mean, there is clearly a difference between them and the show. So they call the game straight. That's their job. They're professionals. They have to, call the game, in a broadcast sense, classy and call it right and be focused on the game and nothing else. On this show, as you know, chaos rules and entertainment and fun and crazy and wild and outrageous and screaming and yelling and arguing and biting and spitting are preferred. And so I can guarantee you this is more exciting than them. I know for a fact it is. It's way more fun to listen to me on a Monday Night Football game on this show than listening to them, 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, this is better. They're doing the gig. Congratulations. You got the big high-paying television gig on Monday Night Football that no one cares about anymore. No one really truly cares about it anymore. You know that, right? People, everything they tell you is a lie. So they tell you that everyone's watching. They spin the NFL ratings like no other. The NHL's the best at it. The NHL's never had a bad rating in their life. Every game they watch is up 12% from the year before. They have never once ever admitted that no one watches. And the reality is, in the true reality of the world, no one gives a rat's ass about hockey except a very small, niche portion of the world, which has included every one of us. So we are the suckers. Jay, Carver High, Mafia, and your boy Uncle Futrelli, we are the only hockey fans on the face of the earth. There are, millions of hockey fans. There's hundreds of millions of football fans, okay? So I don't believe the television ratings that they sell you and all the rest. I don't think people watch Monday Night Football anymore. I think it's a dying breed. Monday and Thursday nights have become a painful thing for the NFL. Sunday is what matters. Monday and Thursday are just games so we can all chew it up and spit it out because it's never good. We haven't had – last night was the two best Monday Night Football games, and I thought the second game wasn't that good. The first game was the
first
best –
first game was the money game.
That was the best Monday Night game I've seen in years. Okay, so Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, we've already decided last year emphatically that it's a disaster. Did we not?
Years we've decided.
Okay, so the league, just so you know, the league knows it's a problem, but they don't care. Anything that makes the players that unhappy makes the owners and the league happy. They love the fact that the players hate Thursday nights. They love it because they're at odds every day of their life, the NFLPA and the NFL.
Right, because that's going to be one of the things that they're going to say, oh, you don't want to play on Thursdays anymore? Great, we'll play 18 games.
That's right. So it's going to be a negotiating war. But you cannot deny that, the numbers lie and that there are fewer people watching television. There's not – literally, television's in big trouble. Do you understand? Network television is in big trouble, horrible trouble. And, for instance, CBS – they have changed the anchor on the evening news on CBS since Dan Rather like 10 times in 5 years. It's so embarrassing.
I don't even know who it is.
It's
anymore.
So embarrassing.
I don't even know who the last five
were. It's Nora O'Donnell is now doing it. And meanwhile, Jeff Glore did it for about 6 weeks. They
Ooh.
Gave him Jeff Glore. Great guy. And he's really talented reporter, but they put him in there. He looked like a little boy doing
Great
the evening
reporter.
News. He had, like, the big collar that was too big for his neck, the whole deal. But now they got Nora O'Donnell. They've had 15 hosts hosting it. They change morning television like you blow your nose. Here's what people watch. It's cord cutting, and they all watch binge television. They all watch streaming services. They all watch Netflix. They all watch Hulu. They all watch all these, you know, streaming. Am I wrong, Mafia? People don't even watch
I'm
network.
Cutting the cord. I'm not.
Who
I'm
watches network television anymore? I couldn't tell you what's on. Did I not tell you driving in a car the other night I saw a billboard for Jimmy Smits? Jimmy Ferrell and Smits. Let me just say, Jimmy, nice job. You have had the most brilliant career of hosting network television shows for 20 years, and every single show you're on sucks and gets zero ratings. You're the worst actor ever, but you get every job in the world. Is he not on a network television show every fall? Every fall he's on a new lawyer or hospital show or a cop show. Every year for 25 years, Jimmy Smits is all over my television.
That's his niche.
He sucks. His shows suck. And they all suck. Every show on television sucks. There's one good show on television now I heard. What is it called again? The one on NBC, Now and Again? What is it? The one you
this
watch?
Is us.
This is us. People love that. And that one, you know what that is? That's real life problems is what that show is. It's a drama that makes you cry all day. That's what people like. I'm telling you, television's finished. It's binge television and these streaming services that are killing everybody. And no one cares about Monday Night Football. Believe me. No one cares. Sports fans care. You know, the fat, drunk, loser, bong-smoking sports fan loves Monday Night Football because he's a fat loser and has no life. That's the guy. What the guy eating the pastrami and a bowl of popcorn and the 12 beers? The guy calling me up, going Natty Light, Pharrell. That's the guy watching Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and that guy's in the minority now. So
you better believe he is. And the only reason I watch it in here is because I'm in here doing a sports show. I mean, I'm telling you the truth.
Have to watch it.
But I'm telling you, when I'm home, ask him. On weekends, I watch. I just watched 5 seasons of Green Arrow. I want to kill myself.
Who?
Trust me, it's better than network television. We have a midnight statement from the Patriots, Carver High.
We are aware of the civil lawsuit that was filed earlier today against Antonio
we'll look
Brown,
into it.
As well as the response
we
by Antonio's representatives. We take these allegations very seriously.
We'll have no further comment at
Under
this time.
No circumstance does this organization condone sexual violence or assault. The league has informed us that they will be investigating. We will have no further comment while that investigation takes place.
So,
end quote.
There you have it.
Sounds like they won't be releasing Antonio Brown tomorrow. That doesn't sound like that's what they're doing, right?
That they won't be releasing him?
Well, isn't that what...
Well, they're going to
get rid of him, right? Get rid of him.
Well, they're going to let the process play
they're gonna
out.
They're going to let
right?
the NFL decide.
Right.
That's
the
what
NFL
they're going
to
do.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, 855-212-4CBS. We want to hear from you. Pick it up, dial in, Dan Carver. Hi. You just had some really interesting things to say about something you spotted in there. Tell everybody what you're talking about.
I was just saying, like, you know, you see these every day now. I mean, OJ's got this Twitter account, right? And for, like, the last, like, what, like, 4 months or 3 months, he just, whenever he has, like, random thoughts about, like, fantasy football, like, he just goes on and gives you these 2-minute videos about his flex position, you know, who he's starting this week. And like, at the end of the one I just did, like, it, I was scrolling through it and saw it. You know, he starts giving you the Antonio Brown stuff with, you know, he, just remember, folks, you know, he's not – he's just accused, you know. He's not convicted. Like
coming
like,
from
like,
him.
Like, honestly, how bad has it gotten for you when you got OJ out there on a video on Twitter?
Your boy.
Telling people that it's just accused. Like, OJ. Like, honestly. Like, it is just – where. And I just think it's hilarious that – OJ's out there sitting in the Vegas sun blasting off these tweets about his fantasy football team. I mean, just think about that.
Do you remember how good the game was last year with Arizona State and Michigan State?
It was a great game. Remember who had Arizona State all week that
right,
year?
Right, you did.
Yeah.
How do you think they'll do this year in East Lansing?
Yeah, I think they're going to get run. That's what I think is going to happen.
They're going to get
run. This is a different Arizona State team than last year. You've seen that already through
right.
the first couple weeks. They lost a
Struggle.
Lot of their players. Herm has new guys coming in. They've got freshman quarterbacks. They got... I just, it's not the same team. And that was a tough spot for Michigan State last year. That was a late night game out in the desert, and they lost that game. I think that they returned the favor this week. No doubt about that. What's the line on that right now?
It's 13 and a half, 14.
Yeah, I'm willing to play that. I'm willing
really?
To go the whole way there.
All right, Mafia, Michigan State last year lost to Arizona State in Tempe. Do you think they'll beat them this year in East Lansing?
Probably. I mean, that spread worries me a little bit because of how crappy their offense, you know, looked at the start of the season. You know, they got
they went 28-7, then they put up 58.
Right. They got a lot better last week, of course, you know, again. But I'd say I'd still roll with that just because their defense is so strong that there'll probably be a defensive touchdown or two because Arizona State's just really not looking good to me yet this year.
All right, here we go. Let's go to the phones. Danny in Pittsburgh on the fan. Danny.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, Pharrell?
Hey,
can
bro.
I please get a nice cold Iron City?
Yeah, get him a infinite iron shot of beer, infinite iron shot of beer, puke. There you go.
Hey, Pharrell.
Yeah.
Listen, you remember Milledgeville with Ben Roethlisberger? I mean, he wasn't he didn't get convicted. There was no criminal charges, if I'm right. There was no, you know, civil charges. And he got suspended 8 games. He got knocked down to 6 if he did a bunch of meetings. And he got, you know, went to church 10 weeks in a row and got the priest to sign a slip. And so I think there's a good chance that Antonio could get held up by Goodell, because think about it. You know, the last 9 months, he's been making a fool out of this league. I mean, they were talking more about him last year than the Super Bowl.
So you were – and who's the guy you were talking about with Roethlisberger, with Big Ben, and who else?
Remember when he was in Milledgeville? When
right.
He
the rape.
There was rumors about
right.
him and that girl one time.
It's right.
3 times for Bron. And there was no criminal or civil charges. And he got an 8-game suspension that got knocked down to 6 games just for a rumor, basically. Isn't that what happens, right?
Yeah, you're right. And you know what's great for me is Danny's accent. That's the Pittsburgh voice I grew up with my entire life. Like, honestly, you have the greatest Pittsburgh accent ever. I just want to hear him talk again where he's like, do you remember when Big Ben went down there to Millersville and them and then those chicks over there and them got with Yins and then they busted this guy and then he got, like, no civil and then the cops, like, the popo was on the thing with them and they went downtown and then he got a lawyer, got him drunk, and then they all went to the Stiller game and they won by 9 and covered.
Hey, when I found out you were from Pittsburgh, I was hooked. I stumbled onto this show a year ago. When I found out you was from the Berg, I was hooked, man.
There you go, brother.
I was hooked.
I
I'm
love
the same
it,
age as you, by the way.
All and, right.
And also, Monday Night Football, hey, it ain't been the same since the 70s when the Steelers used to go down to the Houston Astrodome against the Love You Blue Oilers. You know, it's been
I was
long
at the
time.
Game. I was at the game when in – 89 in the divisional semi when the Steelers beat the Oilers on New Year's Eve when Gary Anderson kicked that 53-yarder whatever to win the game in overtime. And I'm standing in the end zone, and if you look, when he kicks the game-winning field goal, there's only one guy in the entire end. All the media are standing on the field waiting for the game to end to go on the field and interview the players. And I'm the only guy in the end zone jumping up and down. It's me freaking out when the Steelers won that game because I used to travel with the Steelers.
When I watch that, see that highlight again, I'm gonna have to look for you.
Go, I mean, you gotta go look at it. Just you can pull it up right now. Just that division.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the divisional semi in or whatever in Houston at the Astrodome.
Yeah, I remember the game. Believe me, I remember the game
and
clearly.
Like Jerry,
I remember the game.
I think Jerry Olsavsky recovered a fumble or something, and they ended up beating them. Look in the kick when he kicks it. That you see the ball flying through the air, and then in the end zone, you're watching the ball coming toward the goalpost, and you'll see one guy jumping up and down in the middle of the end zone. It's me.
Hey, that's when Merle Hoggs had that huge game, and then we went up to Denver
the next week,
and he had another huge game.
He had the game.
We almost pulled off the upset
He had the game of his life, and so did Bubby Brister. Brister and Merle Hoggs had the game of their life, and they still lost.
Yes, yes, but we almost won in Denver. I mean, we weren't supposed to get past Houston. I mean, they were a heavy favorite.
They were heavy favorite.
And we got past them, and Merle Hoggs, man, he was just incredible them two games. They were the best two games of his life.
Listen, and I loved him as a player or whatever, but honestly, he lost his marbles, man. What happened to that guy?
I know.
He went off the deep end.
Yeah, he's talking about how he thinks, you know, it's a scam, the CTE or whatever.
Right, these conspiracy theories and everything.
Yeah.
He believes they're trying to ruin the NFL. Where's he living? In Area 51? Your boy, Merrill Hodge, he lost his mind. Anyway.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, Danny, good call, brother.
Oh, thanks, brother, man. I just love listening. I work all night. I drive a sweeper truck. I'm actually by the stadium right now. So
awesome.
I love you guys.
I love you, man. Here's to the Steel City. I love you.
Thank you, brother.
All right, later, bro. I love that guy. He's like, yeah, the next week we went to Denver and them, and then Merrill Hodge had the greatest game of his life, and that fam Bubby Brister had a big game too, but they still lost on a Braxton over the top with about a minute left. It sucked. I love that guy's voice. Are you watching the highlight? Do you see me in the end zone?
I see. If you're describing you, yeah, it looks like the hair that you had then too, the tie and the shirt. I see the one guy jumping up and down with his arms up.
I'm the only guy in the highlight. That's me standing there. As a reporter covering the Steelers, I traveled with him. That's me. I knew it because I was the only guy celebrating, and everyone wanted to kill me. And then I was like, kiss my ass, you fat ass, because I'll say it right to your face. You're not quick enough to catch me. I'm like, when they swing at me.
Anderson with the old school, like the one bar helmet.
Yeah, one bar helmet. You see the kick and you see me jump up and down?
He's about to kick it right
now. Because I'm like, well, look, you'll see me with my hands up in the air. And I'm like, it's in, yes! In overtime.
Yeah.
I want to see
it. Just watch it again.
Save it for me. I want to watch it. It's going to give me a full chub. Shake out.
I remember that game.
You remember? Robert and anyone can pull it up. What'd you look up? The divisional semi, 89?
1989 Steelers-Oilers on YouTube.
There you go. And you'll see it. Go on YouTube and pull it up. Steelers-Oilers, 89
it's like
playoffs.
Down. It's like 3 hours and 4 minutes in.
3 hours, 4 minutes in. It's all the way at the end. Robert in Maryland.
All right, I'll take my usual George Tickle on the ice if I could, please.
Can we get him a beverage right there on the ice? There
Put
you
it
go.
On the house tab. Thank
I
you
got
so much,
you.
Scotty.
I got you.
All right. As you know, we Ravens fan had a good weekend. The other three teams lost. Looks like the Steelers could be in a little bit of trouble. It was so nice to see the Browns get that that hype balloon burst on them like that. And I'm not that convinced on Lamar Jackson, but if he develops into an NFL passer, this team can really do something this year. They got a lot of youth and a lot of speed.
Seriously, how can you say what you've seen last year and this year that, and already, like, the way they came, I don't care if they played the Dolphins or if they played Hamtramck Tech, how can you say that guy can't throw a football when he puts up 325 and 4 touchdowns? I don't care who he's playing. Seriously, like, this is the NFL. This is no joke. So he went out and he just absolutely lit it up. And then you still doubt him?
I'm just not convinced. I want to see it against some good competition. We got your team coming up and some other teams. We'll know a little bit more then. But that whole team has got a lot of youth and speed on it. They're a team to be reckoned with, I think. And on the Antonio Brown thing, I'm curious. If that woman got molested once, what did she come back the other two times for?
Yeah, I don't know. There's all kinds of questions. It's a great question by you, though, for sure. I mean, there's all kinds of ways of looking at this. And, you know, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You got to admit, That's a showstopper right there. I was
reading through a little bit of the what's the thing that they call it?
The court proceeding.
Yeah. And
the lawsuit.
You know, he apologized to her. So that's why she came back and...
I'm so sorry I raped you. Yeah, we should hook up again.
Going to what Robert was just saying there, I know that the Dolphins aren't good, but if there's one thing on the Dolphins that actually is good, it's their secondary. They actually have some pretty good guys in the secondary, and they got beat up pretty good by Lamar Jackson. And he's right. They play the Cardinals this week at home.
All right.
And then after that, Chiefs, Browns, Steelers, Bengals, Seahawks, you'll get to see a little bit more. Personally, the stuff that he did on Sunday, you say he could have did it against anybody. I mean, he was really good on Sunday.
He was really good. But people just still don't believe. They just don't. The guy won the division last year, a tough division, black and blue.
And you made a great point all summer. Everybody talked about the Browns all summer, even the Steelers a little bit. Nobody mentioned the Ravens for this AFC North.
Ever.
Nobody.
Trust me, they're going to be the team that you're going to have problems with all year. We got another hour to go. We call it the Blue Lagoon. Anything's possible.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.